chưa có âm thanh cả. Cho âm thanh lên chút nữa. Les écouteurs, ça va? We need two children to come and demonstrate how to shake hands, how to offer a lotus flower, English speaking. And if you have a camera, you are, yeah. If you want, you can take a picture of the children demonstrating how to greet each other. Kiếm cho thầy hai đứa. Another young man. You pick up another young man. If you have your camera, you can take picture. Dear Sangha, this is how, not yet, this is how two Westerners greet each other. Shake hands. Bonjour. Thank you. Dear Sangha, this is how two Buddhists greet each other with a lotus flower. Thank you. Dear Sangha, this is how a Western person and a Eastern person greet each other. Do it again, slowly. It means that she has a half lotus. And he also has half lotus. But the children of Plum Village, they don't want the lotus to be divided into half. So they propose that they bring together the two halves and back a lotus. This is the perfect salutation. Thank you, dear. Shall we do it again? Here are two Western people whom Western people. And here are two Buddhists. And a Buddhist and a Western person. Okay, thank you. Perfect. Good morning, dear Sangha. Today is the 26th of July in the year 2011, and we are in the Stillwater Meditation Hall in the upper hamlet of Plum Village during our summer opening. And today we have a session of questions and answers, and the children will have the chance to ask a few questions. And after that, the teenagers are encouraged to ask their questions. And the rest of the time will be for us adults to ask questions. And we know that a good question has to do with our practice, with our suffering, our happiness, our practice. And a good question always benefits many people. If you ask the good question, and then everyone will benefit from your question. And that is why we should ask the most important question in our heart. expression of the heart. We can also ask on behalf of a friend a question. And if we don't want to come up here, we can write down that question and have someone bring it here to Brother Fablin. He will read it. So those of us have a question are invited to come up here and sit around Thay and take turn to sit on that chair so that everyone can see. And before we ask the question, everyone will join us to breathe in and out 3 times to calm ourselves, to produce the energy of mindfulness with the sound of the bell. And if you want to ask a question in the kind of language that is not that needs a translator, you have to bring your translator with you. So let us breathe together with the sounds of the bell, and then we will ask the first question.
Dear Thay, dear friends, our young friend asked, why are my parents separated?
Why my parents are separated?
Perhaps somebody could come up to translate the answer for our young friend, somebody who speaks German and English.
Dutch, sorry.
We need a translator for her. If our parents are separated, that's not because they want to separate or they want to make us suffer, but because they have difficulties that they cannot overcome. So we should not blame them. We should try to understand why they have to separate. We have to try to learn what are the kind of difficulties that do not allow them to stay together as a couple, and try to understand and not to blame them. And if you are too young now to understand, then we should wait a little bit, but we always remember that there must be some reason behind, below, that make them suffer so that they cannot continue to be with each other. Maybe when you are with your mother, you can ask about the difficulties. And when you are with your father, you might like to ask for the reason. And you should show your love to both of them, and your willingness that to see they are together again. That might help. And for those of us who is growing up, we know that living together is not easy. Conjugal life, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to, if we know how to practice the Dharma, and then we can prevent can happen and make us suffer and lead to separation. So we have to be very careful when we decide to marry someone. And maybe with the Sangha, we should look deeply to see whether we should marry him or her. So we can make use of our wisdom and wisdom of the Sangha. And the Sangha might recommend us the kind of practice that can use in order to prepare ourselves and to make the decision. The European Institute of Applied Buddhism want to offer a course for young people who are about to get married, so that they can prepare themselves for the journey, which sometimes might be very difficult. Thank you. Nghiệp quá.
Comment peut-on trouver le Bouddha qui est en nous et le reconnaître chez les autres?
How can we find the Buddha within ourselves, and how can we recognize him in other people, in others?
In Buddhist psychology, we speak of seeds, grain. You have a grain, you have a seed of anger in us. And every time the seed of anger is water, the energy of anger will manifest. And when the anger is manifest, we call it a mental formation. If mental formation, anger, a kind of energy. We have also a seed of love in us. And when someone watered the seed of love in us, love manifests. The seed of love manifests as a mental formation, an energy of love. And you can recognize. You can recognize anger. You can recognize love. And when you are angry, you still have the seed of love inside of you. Although it's sleeping down there and has not manifested. So that seed of love deep in you is always there. And even when you are very angry, very violent, that does not mean that you do not have the seed of love in you. Although people don't see. So the Buddha in you is the seed of love, the seed of understanding, the seed of joy, the seed of peace in you. And if you practice the Dharma, and these beautiful seeds have a lot of chance to manifest, and people can recognize the Buddha in you very easily. If you don't practice, if we do not practice so that the seed of love, understanding, compassion arise, they are hidden inside and people don't see. And they may think that we don't have a Buddha in us. They are wrong. The Buddha is always in us. So practicing the Dharma is to give the Buddha in us a chance to manifest. And that is why when we make a lotus flower and bow, we say, this is a lotus flower. It's for you who are a Buddha to be. Now you don't look like a Buddha, but if you allow the seed of compassion and kindness in you to manifest, you are a Buddha right away. So to become a Buddha is not something too difficult. Have the seed of love, understanding, forgiveness to manifest, and you become a Buddha. What is difficult is to keep yourself as a Buddha, to maintain, to keep the Buddha with you as long as possible. Many of us are Buddha, part-time Buddhas only. And those of us who practice well, we can be full-time Buddhas. It's very pleasant to be with a full-time Buddha. So even with the people who are very violent, very difficult, very angry, the Buddha is in them too. But so far, no one has helped the Buddha in him or in her to manifest. So you may be the first one who can help him or her. You may be the first one who can touch the seat of the Buddha in him or her. People like Bin Laden, he also has a Buddha in him. But no one has helped the seat of Buddhahood in him to manifest. And in Buddhism, we see that everyone has the seat of Buddha in oneself. We call it Buddha nature. The capacity to understand, to accept, to love, to forgive. That is the Buddha in us, and all of us have that. So we should give the Buddha in us a chance. There is a Bodhisattva very well known. His name is Thường Bất Khinh, never despising. Every time he meet a person, he said, I don't want to underestimate you because I know you are a Buddha inside. I know that there is a Buddha in you. And people are glad when they hear that, but there are people who get angry and who think that he is trying to make fun of him, of them. So they get angry. They shout. But this Bodhisattva still mind says, well, even if you are shouting at me, I still believe that there is a Buddha in you. So that is a Bodhisattva whose practice is to remind everyone that they have the Buddha nature in themselves. That's a good Bodhisattva, never despising, disparaging anyone. So when we bow to each other like this, we recognize each other as Buddha. It's very, we are doing something like the Bodhisattva Thường Bất Khinh. Let us breathe together. Why? Who? What? Ask.
I shall first say it in Dutch, okay? So he can see if I say it correctly. Rohan die wil graag weten wat Tai allemaal heeft gedaan En om zo slim te worden als hij nu is, dat hij zoveel weet en zo wijs is. Is dat goed? Okay. So, Rohan would like to know how Thay practiced and what he learned, so that he is so wise and so smart now.
Repeat the question again.
I think that our young friend asked, what is it about the practice here that has made him so wise and so smart like he is now? Is that correct? No. So what did he practice? What did he learn that made him so smart and so wise?
He has been practicing like all of us in Plum Village every day. Walking mindfully, breathing mindfully, eating mindfully, smiling a lot. Nothing special. Thay has no special talent. Thay is not more intelligent than anyone. He's just a normal, average person. If you want to practice, and then you can do it. Thank you. Good question.
Why do we have homework?
This question is too difficult for Thay. Thay has to ask Brother Phaplin to answer it for him. Difficult question, isn't it?
Dear Thay, dear Sangha, I think many people have a lot of sympathy with this question. For myself, I never liked doing homework. At least many times I didn't like doing homework because sometimes I didn't find it very interesting. So then I would ask, why do I have to do this homework? It's boring. But sometimes I found it really interesting. And then I really wanted to do it. And nobody had to ask me to do it. And sometimes, maybe sometimes even now, I still have homework. Sometimes I don't want to do it, but sometimes I do, because I can find a way to make it interesting for myself. I find a way to look at it that makes me realize, wow, actually, this is really interesting. I want to do this. I want to understand this. And then if I'm interested in it, then I know why I have homework. Because it's fun.
Very good answer. I think we had to ask our teacher. It's okay with homework, but could you make it more interesting? Okay, thank you. So the children, thank you. When you hear the small bell, you may like to stand up and make a lotus flower and leave the hall and practice outside. Please join us for the walking meditation. Les enfants se lèvent, offrent une fleur de lotus avant de sortir. Dear friends, last time we had a few online questions. We could not answer it because we wanted to give priority to those of us who are present here. But today we will try to answer one or two questions online.
Querido Tai, querida Sangha, querría preguntar cómo puedes volver a dar tu confianza a una persona que te ha demostrado de todas las formas posibles que no la merece, pero le quieres demasiado como para dejarle ir. Gracias.
Dear Tai, dear Sangha, she asks how can she have confidence in a person who hurt her and how can she but is a person that she she loves a lot and cannot let go of that person. Thank you.
The other person who hurt you, maybe he does not have the intention to hurt you. It may be he does not have the intention to make you suffer. Or maybe he is unskillful. He is not able to handle the suffering in him. So the question we might ask ourselves whether why that person has hurt us? What is the reason? Did he intend to make us suffer? Maybe he did not intend. He did that because he was pushed by something inside of him. So before deciding to continue or not to continue the relationship, we have to try everything. We should. There are peaceful moments you can ask him, why did you say that? Why did you do that to me? Please explain. Did you have the intention to hurt me or just because something in you that is so strong that's pushing you? Please tell me. Because if you keep make me suffer like that, I will not be able to continue with this relationship. So please help explain to me. So this is also meditation, because meditation means to look deeply to see the truth. And if we cannot see by ourselves, then we have to ask the other person to help, to tell us what. And at the same time, the other person we'll try to look deeply to see why he has done such a thing, why he has said such a thing that make us suffer and make him suffer. So this is a very important practice. And we will see after that. The second aspect is that we think that it's he who has hurt us, but maybe we ourselves, out of unskillfulness, we have hurt him, but we don't know. So we have to ask the second question, my dear, have I hurt you by what I say or what by I do? Please tell me and help me to see why I have done that, I have said that. So this is a process of finding out. This is a truly meditation, because meditation is to use mindfulness and concentration in order to look deeply to find out the truth. And the truth will help liberate us from anger, from wrong perceptions, and from wrong decision. So in a love relationship, we need a lot of patience. We should allow him or her to have a lot of chance, and we can grow together. So talk in such a way that he does not think that you are blaming him, condemning him, but you are trying to help him, and ask him to help you also. And when you suffer, you have to practice the mantra that I suffer, please help. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow we have a chance to learn about that fourth mantra. Darling, I suffer, please help. A difficult mantra, but we can do, we can practice. And it will help both.
Thai and dear Sangha, there are three of us here together from the country of Norway, and we have come to practice the fourth mantra, we suffer, please help. Our country is suffering with pain and confusion of a kind which unfortunately, some other people in this hall may have similar experience with, and we don't. Until Thursday, we could consider our corner of the world very peaceful, and we still can in many ways. But on Friday, one man killed many people in our country. As far as we know, at the moment, they have found 100 people killed, and almost all of them young people between 11 and 25 years old. This man left a long, long letter explaining that he doesn't like the way society is developing, and it looks like he was trying to do something about this by killing everyone from one particular party, because he attacked the government offices and a youth camp from the same political party. And for us now, as practitioners, we are asking for advice. How can we digest what has happened so that we can help other people when we go home on Thursday? And the second part of our request is also we would like to ask the support of Thay and the Sangha by observing silence for a while or chanting together.
Learn in Plumlish that life is full of wonders. Happiness is possible. But life, horrible things are there also in life. The violence, killing, anger, separation, death. And first of all, we have to accept life like that, full of wonders. But a lot of suffering also. Like the tsunami in Japan. Like what happened in Norway is a bell of mindfulness. Everyone in the world has turned to the country, your country, and breathe and ask the question as why and how such a thing can happen. So as we are so busy with our daily occupations, do we have a minute to pause and breathe and listen to that bell of mindfulness? Because the practice is that we can learn from our suffering. And it is possible to transform garbage back into flower. It's not good to allow ourselves to be flooded, carried away by suffering. We should be able to make good use of the suffering. We have to learn from it. And we have to try our best to prevent things like that to happen in the future. There are things that we can do. We see discrimination as the root of many kind of suffering, discrimination, intolerance, that gave rise to fear and violence. And we see mental instability, mental illness, as a product of our way of living. So this, when these two things come together, it can be very, very destructive. And there are still people like that in the country, in every country. We have to identify them. We have to come to them and help. Because these people need help. And our society is producing people like that. The way we communicate, the way we report about events can cause a lot of fear, anger, discrimination, hate. Journalists and other people also. What we say and what we write might water the seed of fear, anger, discrimination in the mind of the people. And that is not good for our world. So you have to practice the fourth mindfulness training. Speaking in such a way that will water only the good seeds in people and not watering the seed of anger, hate, fear in them. So the role of journalists is very important, the mass media. I remember one time I was in New Delhi and I was invited by the Times of India to be guest editor on the day of commemoration of Mahatma Gandhi. So I accepted to be guest editor of the Times of India. I went there to work with other editors. And that morning, the bad news came. Bombs rock and destroy many people. And when the news came to our table, everyone was in despair. And one of the editors looked up and said, "Thay, on a morning like this, with this horrible news, what should we do?" This is not an easy question to answer. I remember I had to breathe in and out a few times before I offer an answer. I said that we have to report. Because we are journalists, we have to report. But we should report in such a way that we will not allow the seed of anger, despair, violence in people to be watered. We have to practice looking deeply to see why such an event could happen in the country of Mahatma Gandhi. And we should not allow the anger and fear and despair to overwhelm us so that we can write a kind of report that is truthful, that can water the seed of understanding and compassion in people and help people to see the truth as how to live our daily life in order for such a thing will not happen in the future. So that morning, we published a report about the bombing in the line of the fourth mindfulness training. problem is not only the problem of nowhere alone. It is our problem. And when you suffer over there, we suffer also. When you die, we die also in our heart. And according to the Buddha, we have to keep still and breathe and look deeply to see why such a thing has happened. Because we have allowed it to happen. We are so busy. We do not have, we have not had enough time to take care of these aspects of life. We have allowed misunderstanding, fear, anger, discrimination to be watered too much. And when a person who has mental illness is struck by that kind of mental formation, become very, very dangerous. So we as parents, teachers, journalists, politicians, and so on, we have to pause and reflect. If we don't do anything, if we continue just like yesterday, it will happen again. So we have to make a strategy together. What we can do today in order to reduce the risk. The practice of peace, the practice of watering the seed of tolerance, non-discrimination. Apparently, the person who killed in Norway, he was very afraid of Islam and communism. He wanted to protect his country from what he is afraid of. But his way is very destructive. Maybe he believed that he is doing that for the sake of the country. But he is doing the opposite of what he wants. So that is the purpose of education. And not only the mass media, school teachers, parents, but every one of us have to stop, to pause, and look deeply, and offer our part of helping in reducing that kind of violence, discrimination, so that fear will not be the force behind the action. Many of us are acting out of fear. Sometimes we do not have the willingness to harm, but because you are too fearful, you are harming people. So a session of reflection should be organized in Congress, in the city hall, in family, in school, so that we can learn more about this and identify the causes of the suffering, namely discrimination, separation, fear. Let us join our palm and chant Namo Avalokiteshvara.
No.
shall we take one question in the written form?
Dear Thai, dear community, there are several questions that were submitted online as people watch the Dharma talk live. And this is one of the questions. There are two slightly related questions, also related to a question we had in the room. What is the best way to regain a sense of mindfulness after years of conditioning with cell phones, internet, and other things that destroy humanity? How does a technologically trained person get back to finding the true way? And is there a place for all of this digital noise in this quest?
Breathe, you are alive. Breathe, you are online. Many of our brothers and sisters program a bell of mindfulness in the computer. And every 15 minutes, we hear the bell and we stop. We pause and enjoy breathing in and out. You can download the sound of the bell and put it in your computer. And next month we will have a half day of mindfulness for Google. There will be sitting meditation, walking meditation, Dhamma talk, and question and answers for Googlers, and that will be online for about 30,000 Googlers to practice. Nature, our body belong to nature, and the trees, the air, the water, the sky, the sunshine belong to nature, and we should arrange so that we can be in touch with nature every day. And the practice of walking meditation is very helpful. You may have many hours working in the office, but it is possible to arrange so that every day we have some time to be in nature, walking, breathing, and touching the earth with our feet. It's very healing. Walking meditation is very healing. When you walk from your parking lot to your office, you may like to stop all your thinking and just focus your attention on your in-breath, out-breath, and your steps, and get in touch with nature around. When you sit on the bus or the train, stop your thinking. Be aware of your breath, and touch the vegetation, the sky, the landscape outside. We can turn off our thinking and turn on our feelings, our contact with nature. Very important. The Sangha is very happy in Plum Village because a lot of nature around us. There are children playing. It's very healing. So it's up to us to arrange, to organize, so that we would not be caught up with the computer, other electronic devices. The fact is that we are caught, we might be caught in our work. We cannot just stop. So you might program a bell of mindfulness in your computer. At least you can pause and breathe three times and get in touch with yourself and the world, and maybe every hour we can stop for 5 or 10 minutes to do walking on the outside. This is always possible. And I think corporations, directors, and people who hold high position in business can understand this, and we'll sit down and discuss as how we can do it. Many of us have the joy of working. We find the joy of working, but we are addicted into our work. We just cannot stop. That's not good for our health. We don't have the balance. And that is why we have to rearrange and to reorganize. And we have to discuss among us in order to make it possible. Personally, I practice walking several times a day. And walking like that is to enjoy the kingdom of God, the Pure Land of Buddha that is available in the here and the now. You don't have any plan anymore. You don't want to do anything anymore. You just enjoy yourself. You just enjoy the kingdom. And you are part of the kingdom. You are completely in the here and the now. You say, this is it. I don't want anything else. I am already in the kingdom. And I have the capacity of enjoying the kingdom in every moment. Otherwise, time will fly by very quickly. And in order to help, we should belong to a group of practitioners. We have to meet every week, sitting together, walking together, eating together. And we remind each other, and we support each other in this. The art of mindful living. You learn to live every moment of your daily life deeply. And it is possible that each moment can be healing, can be nourishing. And with a Sangha practicing with us and supporting us, we can maintain the practice. And if you really want it, and then you have it, provided that you want it very much. That kind of deep mindful living.
Dear Sangha, dear Thay, I have a theory, and if this theory is correct, then hate is impossible. And it begins like this. If you have 10 centimeters and you have 30 centimeters, you have 40 centimeters. So 30 plus 10 centimeters and 40 centimeters are identical. In the same way, if you have a young man, you had 50 years, you have an old man. The young man plus 50 years and the old man are exactly the same. And if you have a conception and you had 9 months, you have a baby, and say that your wife dies giving birth, and you hate that your wife dies, but the death of your wife can also be described by the conception plus 9 months. So if you have a son that you do not hate, and at the same time you hate that your wife died, then there's a contradiction. You can't both, since they are the same. So since every object in the universe can be described, like this flower, by the creation of the universe plus about 10 billion years, then as long as
what you said, you don't understand. And you said clearly and before. Because I try to translate, but I don't understand
anything. Marcus, do you have a question?
Yes.
Please ask the question.
Yes, the question is, can I finish? Yes, since every object can be described by the creation of the universe plus 10 billion years, then as long as there is one object that you do not hate, you simply cannot hate any object. And my question is this true?
Dear Thay, dear friends, our friend has a question about interbeing and impermanence, I think. According to his way of looking, as long as there is one thing in the universe that you love, then because of the interbeing of that thing and everything else, you then love everything. So, why do we hate? If that is true, then why is there hate? Something like that.
I don't believe hate is possible.
If you want one thing, if you want the existence of something, you have to accept the existence of the opposite. The opposite is always there. If you want the left, you have to accept that the existence of the right. If the right is not there, the left cannot be there. You cannot hope to have only love and not hate. And the practice here is to help us how to love and how to hate, how to deal with love, how to handle love, and how to handle hate. It's like cultivating lotus flowers. If you want to have flowers, you need to have the mud. And you have to learn how to handle the lotus flower. You have to learn how to handle the mud. Intervening is when you look into something, you see that that something has all the other things in it. Like a flower is made only of non-flower elements. So hate is not outside of love. It is in the love itself. It's a non-love element that make hate. Like the mud is a non-lotus element that is essential for the lotus. So this is this needs some training in order to see. Talking alone is not enough. When you look at one thing, you see all the other things in it. And you cannot say that I only want this thing. I don't want the other thing. It's not possible. I want only life. I don't want death. But dying is one element that makes life possible. If there is no death, there can be no life. And that is true with left and right, above and below, inside and outside. So this is the object of our looking deeply. And when we say flower points to something. And the word flower is a conventional designation. The word flower is not a separate entity. It's a conventional designation. It does not have a separate existence. And conventional designation means that one thing contains all the other things in it. It cannot be itself. It cannot be by itself alone. It has to interbe with other things. This is a language of interbeing. And you have to get used to it and learn to look like that. It's like when you look at the father, you see the son and the daughter. If you have not seen the son and the daughter and the father, you have not seen the father. If you look into the flower, if you don't see the son shine and the cloud and the earth, the mineral, you have not really seen the flower. You are fooled by the appearance of the flower. And that is meditation. Meditation allows us to see things that other people cannot see. And we are not caught by the appearance. There is a question about pain, physical pain.
Dear Thai, dear Sangha, this is a question about physical pain, pain caused by sickness. How can we be at peace with this always present pain? Sometimes it's so strong that it takes me away from the awareness of interbeing. I feel my pain in my body, feeling alone and separate. Is there a practice that can help me dwell in interbeing? And there's a second related question. What can we do if some medicine includes animal ingredients?
You know, we notice that sometimes the pain is very acute. Sometimes we suffer less of the same thing. Sometimes we suffer more of the same thing. And we should use mindfulness in to inquire why. With that pain in my body, sometimes I suffer more, sometimes I suffer less. What is the element that help me, that make me suffer more? What is the element that help me, that make me suffer less? We have to inquire. And the Buddha proposed that when there is pain, you might like to be aware of it and to try to see it as it is and not exaggerating. Suppose you have some physical pain. And while we breathe in and out, we should identify it. Here there is a physical pain, and not more than that. And if we get angry, if we cannot accept that pain, if we revolt, and then the pain will increase. So just see things as they are can already help. The Buddha used the images of an arrow. When you are struck by an arrow, you suffer. And if a second arrow come and struck you exactly at the same spot, the suffering is not only double, but triple or 10 times more intensive. So when you have some pain, recognize it as it is, and don't add your anger, don't add your despair in it. Do not allow the second arrow to strike you. And that is what recommended by the Buddha. Avoid the second arrow. Breathe in and out and say, this is pain. This is only a minor pain, a physical pain. And fear, anger, despair will not amplify it, and you suffer less. That is one thing we can learn from the Buddha. And we know also that when we are tense, when there is a tension in our body, the physical pain becomes more acute. And that's why to practice releasing the tension in the body can reduce the pain in the body. That's the fourth exercise of mindful breathing. And when you focus your attention on something interesting, something wonderful, that can bring pleasure, and then you can forget that pain. You can reduce it. So there are many ways of dealing with the pain inside. And the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we work, the way we handle body, all of that has have an effect on your pain. And that's why we have to take good care of our pain. We have to live very mindfully in order for the pain in us to be reduced to a minimum that is always possible. There is nothing, what we call a perfect health that does not exist. Perfect health. Every one of us has some problem in the body. So you have to learn to accept it and take care of it in such a way that it goes the least painful feeling for us. If you suffer less or more, it depends largely on your way of dealing with it. So wisdom and the practice help a lot dealing with the physical pain. And medicine with some animal elements in it, we try to avoid. But if we really need it, and then we can use. But let us not use it when it is not really necessary. I feel very happy. Outside it's raining, but inside the Sangha is like a family. We are brothers and sisters in the Dharma.
Dear Thai, dear sisters and brothers, in the last 3 months, thousands of young people around the world, especially in Spain and Greece, were gathering in the central squares of the big cities in a non-violent way against the government and the system. We feel overwhelmed by a great sector of the media, the big corporations, the politicians in the government, and the banks. We want a real democracy. We want to strive for human rights. And we want a peaceful society. In the last month, we understood that we feel like the government, we have the same mind, and we need an internal change in ourselves for not reproducing a dualistic mind. And we understand that this is very challenging for us. Me, as a lay practitioner, I feel committed with my Sangha to the 5 mindfulness trainings. But when I am in these gatherings, I want to feel fresh, but I feel very tired sometimes by the energy of the young people, by my own energy, and by the manipulation of a great sector of the media and politicians. However, I feel that I want to feel committed to social injustice and oppression. And I think that as a lay practitioner, I should strive for human rights. I would be grateful if you could give some advice and recommendations for the young people in the world who are fighting for human rights and are trying to have a better life, a more peaceful society.
Maybe the people in the government, they want human rights also, but they cannot do it. They cannot afford to decree human rights. And maybe we should ask them why. What prevents you from allow your people to enjoy this human right? Ask them. As journalists, as young people, we have to ask them. I believe that you want human right also like us, but why? What kind of difficulties prevent you from allow the whole country to enjoy human right? And we'll find out. We try them to try and ask them to tell the truth. There must be some kind of truth behind that that does not allow them to be for human rights. I have to understand them first. And we should not consider them as enemy right away. Is there anything we can do to help you so that you can decree human rights to all of us? What kind of difficulty you have? Please tell us. I think that may be good. And of course, we have journalists and others who can help us to press for that kind of answer. Not creating pressure, but to really ask. And we ask an open question. We want to know, as young people, we want to know that what kind of difficulties that do not allow you to allow the nation to enjoy this right. Yeah, I think skillfully we can ask, and maybe they can tell us. But the second advice I think I can offer is that we should organize so that our life will not a support from that kind of politics that provide us from enjoying human rights. Because it may be that we are supporting the system by our way of living. We are supporting the rich people. We consume the way we consume. We enjoy the comforts. We consume and indirectly we support the corporation, the rich people, the people in power, and we don't know. We have to look deeply into our way of life to see whether we are truly living the life of justice and human right. We may be causing social just injustice, but we don't know. We think that it's them, the government, who is the cause of everything, but we are not responsible for that. It's like in a relationship, we have the tendency to blame the other person for the hurt, but we don't know that sometimes we are unskillful, we can hurt him or her also. So we should be sure that we are with each other in harmony, in brotherhood, sisterhood. And if the young people can organize themselves, creating brotherhood, sisterhood, using loving speech, deep listening, and have happiness and union in themselves, and then their action will bring more result. If they are separated within themselves, if they have a lot of anger and discrimination within themselves, no matter how hard they strive, they arrive nowhere. So the young people have to reorganize themselves to live the life of brotherhood, sisterhood, mutual understanding, and you become very strong and you can succeed. And with that, do not consider the government and the other people as your enemies. Try to support them. Change. I think it's better. This is meditation can help a lot. So among the young people, we have to sit down and discuss the strategy, not only action, but being. We should be in such a way that that can be the image of the future. And then what we say, what we do will have a great effect.
Hi, dear friends. I'm in a divorce situation for a long time now, and I think we're both afraid. And my question is, how should I relate to sudden hostility now that communication doesn't seem possible anymore?
Dear friends, our friend asked, after a long period of divorce, he sees that both he and his ex-wife are afraid, and he asks, how can he relate to sudden hostility?
Relate to sudden...
Sudden hostility.
Now that communication doesn't seem to be possible anymore, it's blocked.
I think that wrong perceptions have been responsible from the beginning of the relationship until now. And each of you might think that it is the other person who is responsible. But in fact, both are responsible for what happened. And if we accept that, well, the situation is better right away. I am partly responsible for what happened. I have had wrong perceptions. I have at times been unskillful. That is the truth, because we are human. And the other side may have exaggerated that. May have think that we are the only source of suffering. But as human beings, we make a mistake. We have wrong perceptions. And we have been not been able to remove that wrong perceptions. And that is why they have been accumulated. Communication was difficult. Now it has become impossible. And something the other person say, others, still has the color of blaming, of accusing. So that continue to make us suffer. I think it's helpful to recognize the suffering in us and the suffering in the other person. Do not think that the other person does not suffer. And do not think that we are not totally responsible for her suffering. You have to recognize that. The other person may go suffering for herself a lot, but we have not been able to help her. We have not been able to help us and to help her. I think to recognize that can already be very helpful. I suffer and she suffers. And we should not try to punish each other. It may be possible that we can find ways to suffer less and to have the other person suffer less, even if we are already divorced. So that will, that intention should be made known. If you practice a session of sitting meditation, and you focus your attention on her, and you can see the suffering in her, made by herself, made by her wrong perceptions, made by her habit energy that come from generational ancestors. Suddenly you have compassion, because touching suffering, recognizing suffering, always bring about compassion. And with that compassion, you can write a letter. You say that, I know that you suffer. And I recognize that I'm partly responsible. I could not help you because I could not help myself. And you did not help me, because you were overloaded by your own suffering. So let us reflect each other, reflect together to see how we can help each other to suffer less. If you are motivated by the desire to write such a letter, and if you can write that letter, you suffer less right away. And in the practice, we can transform any piece of garbage back into flower again. And if you practice well, and then you become good friends, And if you can remember, in the beginning there were moments of happiness. Try to live with it. Try to remember the moments of happiness both of you had together and write it down. My dear, we did have moments of happiness, but we did not know how to preserve them, to make them grow. We were both unwise. I was unwise. I did not know the art of preserving the flower, the happiness. And you did not help me. Because I made the situation worse. I think saying things like that can open her heart. The practice of the fourth mindfulness training can reopen the door of the heart. If you truly have understanding and compassion in you, and then you can use that kind of language. That those of us who only practice for 4 days, 5 days, and we can talk over telephone with that kind of language. We can write a letter with that kind of language, and we can restore communication. And this always happens in our retreats. On the fifth day, you are advised to use a loving speech and deep listening in order to restore communication with him or with her. If the other person is in a retreat, that is easier because she has been exposed to the same kind of teaching. She has looked deeply into her own suffering. And she has understood it. So, restoring communication with her right in the retreat is easy because both are practitioners. But if the other person is at home, you can use your telephone or computer to send an email or to talk. And if you have meditated, if you have recognized the suffering in him or in her, compassion arises in you, and suddenly your way of speaking changes. You are using the language of loving kindness, and that will open the door of the other person. Everywhere, the practice brings result. In Hong Kong, in Macau, on the fifth day of the retreat, there are ladies who call home and using loving speech based on their understanding of suffering, and they were able to reconcile with their husband. In Germany, I remember, that morning, 4 gentlemen came and report that last night, before midnight, they were able to reconcile with their father just by using portable telephone. And they say, "Thầy, it's strange. Before the retreat, I could never believe that I can talk to my father in that way. But on the fifth day of the retreat, suddenly it became possible, and I was talking very kindly to my father, and he cried on the telephone, and he reconciled." So touching suffering, understanding suffering, make the nectar of compassion arise in your heart, and suddenly you are capable of practicing the fourth mindfulness training, deep listening, and loving speech. And I believe that when you go home after the retreat, You can do that. It has helped many couples, and father and son, mother and daughter, to reconcile just by looking deeply and identify the suffering in oneself and in the other person. And suddenly the will to punish, well, is no longer there, and you try to help. One more question.
Dear Thay, dear Sangha, this is a question on addiction. And in my practice, it can happen sometimes, or daily, it can happen that strong craving comes, and it is very hard to overcome. Not to give in to the craving, and it is I think very strong habit energy, and yes, would like to know some help. Thank you.
Sometimes our will is not strong enough. The habit energy is stronger. So the solution is to have a sangha, to organize so that we can live with other people together. We ask them to help. They agree to help us in such moment. And they will know that there are moments when we can be carried away by the strong habit energy. And that is the moment when we need the help. So that is why practicing with the Sangha is important. The monastics, they stay together. And they live with two or three monks or nuns in a room. They know each other and they promise to help each other. In the morning, when one of them is a little bit lazy to go to sitting meditation, and the other two will help bring the energy. And when one of them is low, the other two will try to boost it up. And we have the system, the practice called a second body system. Everyone in Plum Ridge has a second body. You are responsible for your second body. For a monk, his second body is another monk. He is responsible for the well-being of his second body. He should know where his second body is in the present moment. He should be aware of the ups and downs of his second body. He should try to help his second body with the practice. And if he is not strong enough to help his second body, he should ask another monk to come and help him. When he climbed to the bus, he must be sure that his second body is in the bus. when his second body is not in meditation hall, he should know why his second body is not in the meditation hall. So we're taking care of our second body. And everyone in Plum Village has his or her second body. So maybe you should become the second body of someone. And you should have someone as your second body. And we organize our life in such a way that we always have a Sangha in us. We can borrow the powerful energy of the Sangha for mindfulness, for awakening, and so on. So the practice will be easier. And that is why practice alone is possible, but practice alone is more difficult than to practice with Sangha. So if you have a partner, a friend, practicing with you are lucky because the other person can take care of you as his or her second body. And so on. Please try. Thank you. When we hear the bell, please gather at the bell tower and we will enjoy working meditation together.